Yeshus Marina Rav Shlita, thank you. Sukkos on the go. I think perhaps one of the best opportunities for chinuch of children or grandchildren is to show them that being Jewish is fun, and if you go on outings and you can actually build a sukkah on your outing, it's not only a mitzvah, but it also transmits the enthusiasm to kids, and it shows the tshuva me'ava and the joy of doing a picnic and being out in the wilds. Sukkos on the go does bring rise to a number of interesting halachic questions, because the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Chaflov, says, Holchei Derochim Bayom Patur Min HaSukkah. If you're on a journey, you don't have to keep Sukkah. Why? Because you're traveling. There's a principle, Teishvu Kein Duduru. Teishvu Kein Duduru means you live in the Sukkah like you live in your ordinary house. Well, when you live in your ordinary house, you're not living in it when you're journeying, you're traveling. So if you're traveling, you're not at home, so why should you have to have a Sukkah when you're traveling? So, the Braisa says, when you are traveling, Holchei Derochim, during the day, Patur Min HaSukkah, you don't have to keep the mitzvah of sukkah bayom, the chayom in balayla. But if you stop at night time, then you still have a duty at night time. Or if you are traveling at night time, holchei derochim balayla, patur min hasukkah balayla, the chayom in bayom. But then you've got a duty of sukkah during the day. If you are traveling both by day and by night, despite the legal restrictions about lorry drivers, how many hours they can drive, patur min bayom, min balayla. That's the introduction. Teishu kein tiduru, you live in the sukkah like you live at home. So therefore, you don't have to be in a sukkah when you're traveling. Just like if it's raining and you have discomfort, mitztayer potam in a sukkah. You don't have to sit in the sukkah when it's raining. A person who's defiant and sits in the sukkah when it's raining, when it's really pouring in, is called unnecessary. Indeed, it's called chassidus shel shtus. That's no mitzvah. So those are the principles. Rashi writes on that Gemara, just like in the whole year, Einu Nimna Melechas B'derech Schara, then the whole year you don't refrain from doing what you have to do. You go out and you go on business. You travel on business, and therefore, Kach Kol Yomos HaChag Sheinu Yom Tov, when it's not Yom Tov and it's Chol HaMoed when you can travel, Lo Etzrichu HaKosav Limnoa. You don't have to refrain from doing what you have to do. But interestingly, Rashi uses the word sechora. Sechora meaning going on business. And as we know, you can do l'tzur chamoed or the dava ovud, then certain business matters may be conducted on chalamoed sukkos. If that's the case, traveling is one of them. But why does Rashi use this word sechora? So there are a number of interesting questions which come out of this. Do we say that the heta of not having to sit in the sukkah when you're traveling is only for business, as Rashi seems to indicate, or can it be for other things as well? So you want to go on a family outing, you want to go out with friends, you want to go to Legoland. All right, there might be a sukkah there. But let's say you want to go to, the seaside Swanage where there's no sukkahs at all. Do you have a duty to sit in the sukkah, to build a sukkah? That's not business, certainly. So it's a casual outing. On the other hand, do you say, well, you know, that's part of my Yom Tov, or I wanted the children to have a treat, and therefore it's a Simchas Yom Tov? And then there's another question. If you do go and travelling, obviously while you're riding, you don't have a mitzvah of sukkah, unless you can make one out of your car roof, but that's not very easy. But when you stop off for those few hours, are you called travelling? When you stop, all right, you're away from home, but you're not really travelling, are you? You're staying put. So do you have a duty to build a sukkah then? Then there's another question. If you do build a sukkah when you're travelling, do you have permission from the landowner to erect your sukkah on the roadside or in a park or wherever it is? Is it then a kosher sukkah? Then there's a further question. If the sukkah you build is rather flimsy, it might be fit for eating in, but it might not be suitable for sleeping in. And if you say, oh, well, I don't sleep in the sukkah, I'm not up to it, I find it too cold. But if a sukkah, l'chachila, should be used for sleeping as well as eating, is it kosher if it's only fit for eating in and it's not fit for sleeping in? I mean, when you have a sukkah outside some of these restaurants like Slice in Golders Green Road, right? They put a sukkah on outside for people to eat their pizza. You're not likely to sleep in it. Even if it's warm enough, you'll be worried that some thief might come along, some trap might come along and steal your wallet and your phone. So you're not likely to want to sleep in it. Does that mean it's a suitable sukkah for eating as well? Or is it unsuitable? And then there's a further question. If you do manage to build a sukkah when you're on your outing, are you allowed to demolish it before you leave? After all, once you build it, it's got the kedusha. Well, there are two questions. Number one, it's chol hamoed. If you're building, it's the tzurich hamoed. But if you're demolishing, it's a malacha and it's not the tzurich hamoed. You don't need it anymore. Secondly, if the sukkah has kedusha, are you allowed to demolish it once you've dispense with it, you don't need it anymore?
Well, what makes you think a sukkah's got kedusha?
Pardon?
Where does it come from? A sukkah's got kedusha?
The schach, yes. So, there's even something written about the walls, because they're used as tashmishei kedusha. It's disrespectful to use them for anything else during sukkahs if you demolish. And then the question is, if you demolish the sukkah, I mean, that schach has an interesting kedusha. So the poskim say, generally speaking, but we'll come to this in more detail, that you shouldn't really demolish it. So what do you do then? And then there's a practical question. All right, if you find a field where you can put up a sukkah, you might just leave it there. That's what we used to do when we were teenagers and we went on a sukkah ramble. But let's say you make a sukkah out of your car. You know, you can open out the two doors of your car, provided you don't have sliding doors. Maybe you can make a sukkah by using those two doors as walls, put sticks on top, leaves on top. Ah, what about your third wall? Well, you've got the other side of the car, which under the rule of Dofen Akumo, if it's less than 4 amas, then that relates to your sukkah and is a wall as well. I measured the width of my car to be 1.5 meters, which is a wall on the front door, the wall from the back door, and then the wall on the door on the other side, and then I've got three walls. I can make a sukkah out of it. Problem is, if I'm not allowed to demolish, I can't drive my car away, unless I get agreement from my insurance company, which I don't think they'll give. And then if there are various bidyevet, can you make a bracha on such sukkahs? Can you make a bracha, leishiv ha-sukkah? I remember once, many years back when I was a bachelor, I was with a friend. We went to Richmond Park and we built a sukkah. And you think, oh, I've got privacy here, I'm not going to meet any Jewish people here. And we were sitting in the sukkah, and we had a chavrusa there. And suddenly we hear one child shouting to another child, "You see, I told you it's a sukkah." And then there's this whole swarm of kids coming in. They want to see the sukkah as if they've never seen a sukkah in their life. It just so happened that it was in Richmond Park. So the question is, if it was not on my land and I didn't have permission from Richmond Park managers, am I yotza? It's a stolen sukkah if it's on land where I don't have permission. So on there, the poskim say, lechachila, you should have permission from the landowners. Although the stolen sukkah, which the Gemara talks about, is more when you take somebody and you force him out of his sukkah. Whereas with lulav, a stolen lulav you can't use, because that's the mitzvah intrinsically in the lulav. But if you steal, let's say, sechach, to make a sukkah, then even that, although it's not right, the chachila one shouldn't sit in such a sukkah, but b'dieved, because the rabbis ruled that you simply have a duty to pay money to the owner whom you stole from, called takonas hashovim, therefore you can sit in that sukkah and it's kosher. But if the land is not yours and you don't have permission, the question, can you make the bracha? And many say no. So those are the various questions. We'll see how we go. Certainly when you're out in the countryside, there's a greater risk that you might have trees overhanging the sukkah, as we discussed, Jonathan. And you've got to make sure there's nothing overhanging. But that can even happen in your back garden. There may be a neighbor's tree overhanging. I once had a neighbor who came to me shortly after I got married, and he said he wants to put a sukkah at the back of his garden, but there's a large tree at the bottom of my garden overhanging, and can he please have my permission to cut it off, to cut the tree down? So, wanting to be a good neighbor and not being a very keen gardener, I said, Gesundheit, do what you like, which was a very big mistake, because he then came, cut my tree down, leaving an ugly stump, put up this big sukkah with gallows, you know, with these big poles to make the roof up and down, and then he moved out. And my wife said to me, "What have you done? You agreed that the beautiful tree we had is cut down, and now we've got this ugly shed with gallows, which we look out to." And so I realised that building sukkahs is a big lesson in marriage guidance. I could have just said, look, why can't you put the sukkah somewhere else? Or just cut leaves which are overhanging the boundary and leave the rest. But anyway, one learns from experience. So, according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, in his Igros Moshe, Chelek Gimel, Siman Tzadi Gimel, because Rashi uses this word sechora when you're going away on business, then that zechus of being possible from the sukkah of Hoche Drachim doesn't apply to casual outings. It applies when it's Sanik Letzurach, when you need to go away and you need to travel, like on business, then you've got that Petura Hoche Drachim. But otherwise, if you're just going out for a friendly casual outing, he doesn't see the heter there. And therefore, you are chai of sukkah when you go on an outing. You can't claim Hoche Drachim. However, Tosfos don't seem to mention this word Tzchara, and they say, Misha Holech Baderech Bachag, Holech, if you need to go out, you need to go on a journey, then Guzun Tehait, you go, Lein Namibnei HaSukkah, and you don't have to worry about Hilchos Sukkah, because of Teshu Ken Kuduru, just like you'll have an outing in the school holidays when it's not Sukkot, so you'll have an outing on Chol HaMoed Sukkot, and therefore you are free from the duty of Sukkah, but nevertheless, you should try, nevertheless, to use your sukkah at home before you go on the outing. At least have one meal a day in honor of the chag. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says in his Halicha Shlomo Peites Os Chaf Aleph, he says, so he does lean to the side of the Magen Avraham, who says, look, if somebody does bloodletting, which is a preventative kind of cure, and he's feeling weak from it, and therefore he feels he can't sit in the sukkah, and a sick person is possible from the sukkah. So he says, no, that sick person is not really possible from the sukkah, because he could have done his bloodletting before sukkahs. He could have done it after sukkahs. Why did he have to do it in Chol HaMoed? So therefore we don't give him a patur to be free from the sukkah. But Rav Eliashiv says it's perfectly okay. Teal bizmanenu, an outing nowadays, nikrot surach. It is regarded as a necessity. And Rav Sternbuch in his Tshuvas Vahanhogos in Chelek Vav Kuf Mem Vav quotes the Sefer Yoreim, and he says, when you go on outings, you're fulfilling the mitzvah of Simchas HaChag. It is joyous, and the kids love it. Memories are made out of these outings. So there are great benefits out of a teal. And therefore, when you go on the outing, you don't have to fulfill the mitzvah of Sukkah. So if that's the case, do you need to go to a place where there is a sukkah, when they advertise Legoland and Gulliver's and London Zoo, where they all have sukkahs there? Great, fine. But do you have to do that? Once you're on your outing, do you have to have that sukkah? Because you're on a teal, it's Simchas HaSchag. Surely you can't suggest that when you're out in these far away places, that's not like being at home. It's Teshu Kein Dinduru. And therefore, you're not going to start bringing caravans with you during the deals, building special structures. You have your picnic and you eat your sandwiches because you're under hate. Okay, you can always say, I'll eat light foods. And light foods, you don't have to worry about sukkah. Sandwiches, you need to make hamotzi, you need to make leisha pasukah, but if you're having a snack, a salad or some fruit, you don't have to worry about sukkah at all. But we're talking about when you've made sandwiches. Okay, so a simchas achag, you want to make your wife happy, you want to make your kids happy, or your friends, you do something to enjoy yourselves. So you have a meal each day in the sukkah, when you're in the morning, or in the evening, when you get back, but when you're on your outing. And it says the tzaddikim will stay in and use their sukkahs as much as possible. So when you are in transit, you are potter from the sukkah. Hoche drochen. In transit is an excuse. It's not something which is the real life of living at home, because it's something different. In fact, I have a granddaughter who was born in my wife's car on the way to the hospital. My daughter said, Mum, I'm giving birth now. I mustn't hold it back. And she stopped at the 113 bus stop on Hendon Way. And my granddaughter, she's now 15 years old, and she was born at the bus stop. So when my son-in-law came to register the birth at the registry office, they asked, what was the place of birth? And he said, 113 bus stop, Hendon Way. And the registrar said, I can't write that. So the registrar wrote, in transit to Royal Free Hospital. So in transit on its own, it's not a very tangible thing which is fixed, because you're on the move and you're travelling. And in the same way with Hilchos Sukkah, we will say something different. So the question is this. Once you get to your destination on your outing, Let's say you go to Tewkesbury in Gloucestershire. So you're going to drive for a couple of hours, and you're going to stay there for 6 hours, and then you're going to come home, and then you can't find a sukkah there, can you? Do you have a duty then to build a sukkah while you're there, because you're there for 6 hours? Or do you say, no, it's all part of Hilchei Drochim, it's all part of my outing, why should I have to build a sukkah when I'm in Tewkesbury? So there's an argument about this. There's an argument between the Lavush and the Magen Avraham. So the Lavush says, look, when you go to a place like Tewkesbury or Oxford and you can't, you know, you should try and find a sukkah. If there's a local shul there or Chabad house and there's a sukkah there, then you use that sukkah. But you don't have to build one, for goodness sake. It'll take you 3 hours to build it and you're only there for 6 hours. No, you don't have to. Mind you, with the pop-up sukkahs you get nowadays, you can put something up in 10 minutes. And when you use your car doors and you just put some string on sticks on top and put leaves on top, which you bring with you, of course, it doesn't take more than 20-30 minutes. But he says, look, we don't put you to that tircha to build a sukkah when you're on that outing at your destination. But the Magen Avraham says, no, build, build, build. If you are going to a place and you're there for a few hours, you're no longer on your journey. That's not Hilchei Drochim. And therefore, okay, we don't expect you to starve, but at least build a sukkah and then you can eat in that sukkah. So bring your leaves and your twigs and your string or your whatever, bamboo mats with you, and you have a sukkah. All right, you might not have permission from the landowners where you are, but if it's a Rishus HaRabim, a public place, then it's generally regarded as okay because the public don't really care. I saw one poster who said, if you're in Eretz Yisrael, then there's a general understanding of the public that you need a sukkah, and therefore you can put a sukkah up in the Rishus HaRabim, provided it's not causing an obstruction and you're not narrowing any pathways. You can put up a sukkah, but in the Chutz Laretz, well, the question is, can you make the bracha if you haven't got permission to put it on that land? But you build a sukkah, so says the Magen Avraham. And as I said, you can build on your car doors. The sunroofs of cars, unfortunately, are not quite big enough to make a sukkah. Well, most of them, I think, measure less than 7 by 7 tefachim. Mine might measure 7 tefachim one way, but not the other way. It's only 3 or 4 tefachim. But if you have a convertible, if you have a convertible car where you can take the whole roof off and you put some reed matting on top and make a sukkah out of it, it's a kosher sukkah. All right. You're more than 10 tefachim from the ground and the various other aspects. If you've got no windows, well, you've got the principles of good asik or good achis, that the walls are there from the ground upwards, from the wheels upwards. You can have a sukkah in a car. You can even drive that sukkah. All right, the idea of Ruach Matsuya, sukkah should be able to stand in an average wind. Well, that's assuming that you're not moving while it's... When I was 8 years old, I thought, I'm going to build my own sukkah. And I got some blankets and string and put leaves on top. And on the fourth day of sukkahs, it fell down in the wind. And it wasn't a very strong wind. So my dad went to Rav Cooper's Atzal and said, was that sukkah kosher? After all, it wasn't standing properly and it fell in the wind. And I was so delighted because at the age of 8 years old, Rabbi Cooper actually mentioned my sukkah in his shiur to the shul. And, well, it was in the school then, not in this building. And he was talking about the kashrus of the sukkah that I built, that lamafreya from the beginning of sukkahs. It was not kosher because it was not able to stand in an average wind. But if you're driving in a car, you can fasten it. Even when you're driving, you can be sitting in the sukkah. If that's the case, you can ask me, what about sukkah on an aeroplane? All right, I'm not talking about a Boeing 747, but if you have, like they used to have in 1920s, these open-topped planes that you're driving, could you make a sukkah on an aeroplane? You might think it's
not
okay.
Not if you're flying.
Pardon?
Not if you're flying.
Well, if you fasten it. It says in the halacha, Barosh Agola, on the roof of a wagon, Barosh Asfina, on the roof of a ship, you can have a kosher sukkah. So why can't you have it on a plane? Assuming it will stay. Well,
pardon? You said it's got to be 10 tefachim from the ground.
You've got to be 10 tefachim from the ground. So there's an interesting... This is brought in the Mikroi Kodesh of Tzvi Pesach Frank, and the Piskei Tshuvas bring this down. Sukkah al gav aviron yesh lifsol. You cannot, it's possible. So what does Rav Frank write in his volume about sukkahs? Chelek Aleph, Simon Yud Aleph. He says, Shu ba'avir v'lo ba'oretz. If it's up in the air and not on the ground, then it can't be kosher. He calls it the Havei Oel Zoruk, to lav shemei ohel. Ohel zoruk, that the whole idea of a sukkah is it's an ohel, like a tent. And when it's flying in the sky, that's not really called ohel. It's zoruk, it's flying around like a drone. So there's a difference between a car and a plane. So if you're interested in making a sukkah on your plane, forget it. Right. So comes now the question of demolition. If the sukkah has an intrinsic kedusha, and it's not, when you demolish, it's not tzur chamoed to demolish, so there's a malacha there on chalamoed, which is not the tzur chamoed. Ah, but if it's attached to my car, I need my car, I can't drive away. Ah, but what about the idea of kedusha, of the schach? So what's the din there? So certainly on chalamoed, there's no problem about building a sukkah on chalamoed. Though some say try to avoid it in a skillful way, because we don't do skillful work on Chol HaMoed. Just like a sofer can write tefillin on Chol HaMoed when it's needed on Chol HaMoed. But it's preferably b'maaseh hediyot. But the idea of demolition. So according to the Shoel HaMeshiv, in Chelek Gimel Simen Kaf Ches, you may not demolish a sukkah on sukkahs, on Chol HaMoed. But the Shutz Laharis Noson writes in Chelek Zayin Mem Ches, but you can take tzitzis off a beged and put them on another tzitzis. So why can't you take the schach off the sukkah when you demolish it, bring it back home safely, and then you put it on another sukkah so that it keeps the kedusha of the schach and of the sukkah? And therefore, it's okay. So this question, though, he says, is when you built the sukkah before sukkahs, then there's no tanai possible. When you build a sukkah before sukkahs, the shame sukkahs, and it's meant to last the whole of sukkahs. But if you're on an outing on Chol HaMoed, and therefore it's obviously temporary and it's not for the whole of sukkahs, you can stipulate with a tanai and say that the sukkah I'm building now is only temporary and I'm able to demolish it afterwards, and therefore you are allowed to demolish it. But even then, you should be respectful to the schach and perhaps transfer it to your sukkah when you're back home.
Demolish it during
Chol HaMoed. Even Chol HaMoed, at the end of your outing, you can take down the sukkah. You don't want to be a little out and leave it somewhere, especially if it's on somebody else's land or in a public highway. So you'll take the sukkah down, and that is allowed, but preserve the schach for somewhere else. And I want you to be respectful towards the schach. The story is told about Rabbi Akiva Eiger, I believe, that he was interviewing boys, bachurim, for his yeshiva, and he looked out the window, and he saw one bocha walking over schach, which had been put on the ground after sukkahs, and he was walking over it, and there was another bocha who came, and he walked round the schach, and he wouldn't walk over it and into the building. The boy who walked on the schach was an illoy. He was a prodigy. He was a brainy boy. He was brilliant at Gemara. And the boy who walked around the schach was not such a clever guy. Rabbi Akiva Eiger chose the not so clever boy to join his yeshiva, and he refused to accept the boy who walked over the leaves of the schach. It's not menschlichkeit, it's disrespectful. Even you say, well, there's no actual halacha that you may not walk on those leaves, it shows a disregard for the kedusha of the schach, which had been used for such an important mitzvah.
I want to ask Rabbi Cooper, if you can put the schach with green leaves in the recycling.
Yes.
Yeah,
what did he say?
Yeah, why not?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's respectful.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure. Certainly, recycling, compost heaps, or so on, but it should be just dealt with in a sensitive way. So we asked about if a sukkah is fit for eating and not for sleeping. So often when you go on these outings, unlike the wonderful brick-built sukkah you might have at home with its magic roof which closes and automatically, and people do have luxurious sukkahs at home, they'll have heating in those sukkahs, even if there are sheds in the garden, whatever, you know, they'll be more cozy. So, you know, you could probably sleep in those sorts of sukkahs. If the weather's not too cold, if you've got nice heating, it's not too windy, and you stop up the drafts, and it's possible. Again, it's fun for the kids. If you can bring young kids into a sukkah for sleeping, it's fun. And the best sort of chinuch is fun. The children love it. It's camping. It's great. So, when you're on your outing, though, you're not going to make a very sturdy, strong sukkah. You're going to make it a bit more flimsy, something, you know, quick DIY'd in order that you can have your sandwiches. And so therefore, the sukkah, which is quite flimsy, is it a kosher sukkah? Because you're not going to sleep in such a sukkah, especially when it's so open and it's windy and there are bugs crawling all over the ground and you might sleep there with earwigs coming into your ears. You know, you're not going to sleep in such a sukkah. Or, as I said, with it's a sukkah outside the restaurants like Slice, you're not going to sleep in such a sukkah because it's flimsy, and also you're worried about gunnovim and who might be travelling around and coming in the middle of the night. You'll feel insecure, you'll be mitztayer, you don't have to sleep in such a sukkah. The question is then, is such a sukkah really kosher? And this is an interesting question, and the Ramah writes in Siman Tov Reish Mem, Im osa b'mokom shemitztayer, if you have the sukkah where you are troubled to be in it, ba'achilo shesiyo oshino. So namely, eating, drinking, or sleeping, or you're worried about thieves, eino yotze, you're not yotze the mitzvah of sukkah, afilu b'dvorim shelo mitztayer b'hem, even on those things which you're not mitztayer by, namely, okay, I'm not sleeping in the sukkah, I don't care about sleeping in the sukkah, I'm going to just eat in it, and I'm comfortable eating in it, I'm not mitztayer, I'm okay to eat in the sukkah, so why shouldn't I eat in the sukkah? So the Ramah is saying that even if you're comfortable eating in that sukkah, it's not kosher. Why? Because it's not fit for sleeping in. And therefore, according to the Ramah, it's possible. You certainly can't make a brocha, leishe pasukah. However, to give you some comfort, the Mishnah Berurah in Sadi Dalet, quoting Chacham Tzvi Sadi Dalet, he says, I argue with the Ramah. You're not mitztayer when you're eating. You're not interested in sleeping. After all, you know, you might have one sukkah for eating and one sukkah for sleeping. So the sukkah which is built for eating is fit for eating in. And the sukkah that you build for sleeping is fit for sleeping in. So you don't have to worry about your sukkah being unfit for sleeping if you want to eat in it. You're happy eating in it. And therefore it's okay. However, there are a number of poskim which are worried about this Ramah. And this is brought in the Shaatzi and Sifkaf Hei. And the Shulchan Charav, Sifvov, the Shulch Avni Nezer, the Bihalocha, Aruch HaShulchan, Chazunish, Kufnun, they're all worried about the kashrus of your sukkah if it's unfit for sleeping in. So therefore, the Bi'alacha says, Nochan lahachme lechatchila. Lechatchila, it should be fit for sleeping in. I mean, you know, you go camping, you pitch a tent or wherever in a field. It might not be really weatherproof, but you wrap up in a sleeping bag and you might have a... You might have a little heater in there. So you can sleep in it, even though it might have some discomfort. Then that will make a kosher sukkah lechatchila. But b'dieved, if you really find it's unfit for sleeping in, it is okay, because there are many poskim who say it is okay. And therefore, you don't have to worry about it. So we all know about the din of mitztayer. If you're troubled in the sukkah, you don't have to sit in it. But if a person feels unhappy or nervous, then he may leave the sukkah. An ovel is chayav sukkah, because although he feels troubled, his trouble does not release itself, doesn't come away when he leaves the sukkah, therefore he's chayav sukkah. But if you have a non-stop talking mother-in-law in the sukkah, and the only way you can get away from it is to leave the sukkah, then you're called mitztayer. Okay, I don't make jokes about mother-in-law, do I? No. But if a person has guests, I think this was the Chofetz Chaim, who was not feeling well and he was sitting in the sukkah, but he wouldn't leave the sukkah. Why? Because I might be positive from the mitzvah of sukkah, but I'm not positive from the mitzvah of achnosas orchim. I've got guests. Or as one friend of mine rudely said to a guest of his on a Shabbos afternoon, and he wanted his shluf, he said, I've got guests, what's your excuse? Yes, I won't tell you who that was.
Somebody I know.
But the sukkah is a segula for Klal Yisrael, it's a segula for all of us, that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed on Yom HaDin that we have to go into Golos, then we go out into the sukkah, and that is our Golos. So that we can say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look, we fulfilled your decree that we've gone into Golos, now we don't have to have any more severe punishments, and therefore we can come back, hopefully, nicely into our homes afterwards. There's something very special about the sukkah. Sukkah's gematria 91, which is the same gematria as Omein, related to Emunah. It's a demonstration of our Emunah in Hashem. Then we can give up the comforts of our home and we can go out into what may be discomforts in the sukkah, even though there is a din of mitzvah as bottom in a sukkah. And nevertheless, there is an inconvenience of having to leave the house and going into the sukkah. That shows your emunah. And sukkah, Amen, the 91, is also the gematria of Hashem's double name, Hashem Elokim. Elokim spelt Aleph Dan Nun Yud, although it's also Ho Elokim, which is 91, so that there's something very godly about the sukkah, that you are enveloped and surrounded by the kashrus of the walls and the schach, and you have to make sure that there's more shade than light, because that shade symbolizes Tzela de Mehemenusa and Hashem's protection. I once went to a simcha, it was a shul not very far away from here, and it was a bar mitzvah seuda, and the schach was very, very flimsy. There was lots of light coming through. I felt very doubtful about it. So I went up to the rabbi, and in the most polite way possible, and I said, I've got a difficulty in understanding a halacha. Yes, it says that you should have more shade than light in a sukkah. How do I measure it? How do I measure when there's more shade than light? There's no such thing as a meter where I can measure that there's more shade than light. Okay, I exclude windows and assume the walls are all filled up, and therefore that makes a better shade. But he got the idea, he got the message, and he said, look, I know why you're asking that question. I agree with you. There's not enough schach on this sukkah to say that there's more shade than light, so I did not make a brocha. All these little things can easily be overlooked, and the mitzvah is just once a year, so it's good to do it properly. But with the zechus of keeping the mitzvah of sukkah, we should be zocher to a shnas, geula v'shua, and you should all merit a gemach sima tova, v'shua for klal
Yisrael. You see gemach here about the dimensions of a sukkah.
Oh, you want me to repeat that? I don't like repeating myself, but okay, all right. This is something I've said before, so forgive me if I say it again. We said that the minimum shear of a sukkah is 7x7 tfochim. The minimum height of a sukkah is 10 tfochim. The minimum number of walls is 2 and a bit. So let's do a bit of arithmetic at Gershon's request. The floor is 7x7, that makes 49. The schach would be 7x7, that's 49. 49 plus 49 is 98. Then you've got your 10 tefachim high for your walls, you've got your 7 tefachim for your walls, so each wall will be 70. Right, 10 times 7. And you've got two walls which have to be 70. For your third wall, you only need one tefach wide. So that one tefach wide is 10 times 1, which is 10. Add together 98 plus 70 plus 70 plus 10. And what do you get? 248. We serve Hashem with Ramach Evorov with 248 limbs. There are 248 mitzvahs asay. Forgive me for repeating myself, but it was... It was an encore request. Pardon?
When did you last say it?
well, I'm not sure. It's an interesting idea that you're enveloped in the sukkah so much that when Shammai's daughter-in-law was giving birth, he opened up the plaster of the house he was in and he put schach on it. And you can ask, why did he bother doing that? The mother had no duty of sukkah. The baby has no duty of sukkah. It's not yet reached the age of chinuch. But because the symbolism of sukkah is that you're inside the kedusha, it has an effect, even on a young child, that the sukkah, you are enveloped in the kedusha of the shechinah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is the lesson which we learn from Shammai when he opened the ma'aziva and made schach over the baby. May you all have a gemach sima tova, and it should be a shnas, geula, v'shua for all klal Yisrael. Thank you.